Take out your Bible this evening as well as your outline. And let's open up our Bibles tonight to the book of Job, chapter 14. Job chapter 14 this evening, as we continue in our series, How Do I? Looking at different things, we want to figure out how do we do these things. My wife said something that struck me kind of funny. I forget what we were talking about, and she didn't mean it funny. It was just one of those things that you happened upon a good phrase. And she said, you know, hindsight's 20/20. Yeah, it really is, isn't it? Hindsight, we can officially now say from here on out, hindsight is 20/20. So we look back on 2020 and things like that. As you look back on this past year, in hindsight, everybody had the exact same thing in common this past year. You know what it was? And every one of us, you know what it was? Time. Every one of us, we had the exact same thing. In this past year, 2020, it was a leap year. So every one of us got 366 days. Not a one of us was shortened a day. Not a one of us got lengthened a day. That means that we had 8,784 hours, or we had 527,040 minutes, or we had 31,622,400 seconds. Nobody had more. Nobody had less. We had the exact same thing. So what made the difference? How we spent them. That's what makes the difference for every single one of us. We say, oh, I wish I had more time. You're not going to get any more time. You've got the time that everybody else got. Now, how are you going to spend that time? Somebody once observed that a wasted life is really nothing more than a collection of wasted days. A wasted life is nothing more than a collection of wasted days. That is 100% true. So tonight in our study, we want to consider time and how do I wisely use my time. Because once the time is gone, it's gone. Can you get back 1 second of last year? No, not a bit of it. So once it is gone, whether you used it well, whether you used it wisely, or you used it very unwisely, you're not going to get it back. It's gone. So we need to understand how do we use our time very, very wisely. In your outline tonight, number one, let's talk about the brevity of time. The brevity of time. In Job chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, Job says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Go to Psalm chapter 90. Psalm chapter 90. In Psalm chapter 90 and verse 10, the Bible says here that the days of our years are 70 or 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years or 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. One more, Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The story is told about a gentleman, a grandfather. He's a big-time sports lover, and he was watching a football game with his grandson. They were really getting into it. It was probably the New Year's game, you know, watching Ohio State stomp Clemson. And they were just really getting into the game and loving it and everything. And as the grandfather's sitting there with his grandchild, he kind of looks at his grandchild and he's savoring the moment. And he looks at his grandson at one of the breaks and he says, you know what? He says, when I look at you, he says, and I look at me, he says, I recognize I'm getting a little bit old. He says, I think I'm in the fourth quarter of life. His little grandson says, that's okay, Grandpa. Maybe you'll get to go into overtime. Well, I don't know tonight if you consider yourself in overtime or not. But even if you are in overtime, our life is short. James chapter 4 tells us that our life is but a vapor. It's just a wisp of smoke, and it's here for a moment, and then it's gone. And when it's gone, I mean, it's gone. Isn't it amazing? You go out into a cemetery, and you see those really old monuments. And about the only thing that you know when you look at the old monuments, you might recognize a last name, especially if it's a name that's prominent in the community kind of thing. But for most of those individuals, you look at that individual's name, you don't know them, you don't know who they're connected to, you don't know a thing about them, just a wisp of smoke and gone. You know, the older that you get, you notice time flies a little faster, doesn't it? And what's kind of weird about it, in some ways, it does fly faster, but in other ways, it just seems to drag. But either way, you know, it picks up speed. I got to thinking about this. I was 27 years old when I came here. I'm going to be 54. I thought, holy Toledo, how'd that happen? It's like, wow, I couldn't believe that. I was 27. I don't even like looking back at those pictures. It's like, who is that? It's like, wow. In Job 7, he said the days of his life were faster than a weaver's shuttle. Even if we live the 80 years, the 10 bonus years that the scripture gives us, that would be 29,220 days. Still isn't long. Our life is short. You know, knowing that our life is short, and here's the whole thing, folks. We don't know just how short it is. Not a one of us came out of our mama with an expiration date stamped to our hiney. So we don't know how long we've got. You know, there are a few that even push into the 100 mark. And there's others that die as infants. Our life is but a vapor. The brevity of life. Knowing that, Roman numeral number 2, let's talk about the budget of time. The budget of time. If there is the brevity of time, then we ought to know how to budget our time. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 tonight. There's two things that we want to get as we consider budgeting our time. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, we are given this kind of a strange command. It says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So letter A in your outline, we need to purchase the time. How do you buy time? You say, well, I thought we couldn't get any more. You're absolutely right. So how do we redeem it? Albert Barnes writes this. He says, redeeming means to purchase, to buy up from the possession or power of anyone, and then to redeem it and set it free. It means here to rescue or recover our time from waste, to set it free for great and important purposes. So to purchase the time means we know that this time is flying by in our lives. We purchase it. We redeem it. We get a hold of that time and we buy it for good use. We don't just watch it flitter by and go, oh, well, que sera, sera. There it went. Guess I'll never get that back. Oh, well. No, we do what we can to purchase that time. Every moment of every day is a precious commodity. We've got to treat our time, and it's not our time, it's God's time. You know, Christian, that's something we've got to understand. It is God's time. It is God's clock that we are on. It's not our clock. He is the one that has numbered our days. We didn't number our days. God numbered our days. Therefore, it's on His timetable, and it's His timing in our life, so we've got to make sure that we are using His time the right way. So we purchase the time. Let's go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. The second thing that we need to do is plan the time. Not only do we purchase it, but we got to plan it. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6, the Bible says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Plan the time. That ant cannot wait till the last minute to get things ready for winter. That ant has got to be on its little schedule, whatever that schedule might be, and it has to get prepared for the winter months that are to come. So the ant is, and you think about this little insignificant ant that we do everything to keep out of our house, keep out of our picnic basket. We step on the ant. We better just step back and watch the ant. Because that ant was given to teach us something. It knows how to prepare, how to plan the time. We've got to plan our time. We've got to be very careful. Have you ever met that individual that just seems to get so much done in a day's time? And you look at that person and go, wow, how in the world, why can't I get stuff done like that? Look at that person that just go, go, go. Look at all they get accomplished. How do they do that? They plan. They plan. It doesn't just happen. They know how to budget their time. They are using the time wisely. The story is told about a physics teacher. He gave his students a wide-mouth mason jar, and he gave each team some items. He gave them 5 large rocks, a handful of marbles, a container of sand, and a glass of water. He says, you got 15 seconds to stuff all of this into that jar. Pulls out his stopwatch, says, on your mark, set, go. And those kids got about 2 or 3 rocks in the jar. They got some of the marbles. They got sand all over the place. They got water all over the place. He says, time. And they said, it can't be done. He says, it can be done. And so, you know, he keeps them arguing back and forth on that. And he says, do you want me to show you how it can be done? So he empties out a jar and he starts all over from scratch. And he puts a couple of the big rocks into the jar. Then he puts some marbles into the jar. Then he puts some sand, he sifts some sand, and he shakes it up really good and puts a little bit more sand, puts a little bit of water in there. And he puts the rest of the rocks, the rest of the marbles, the rest of the sand, the rest of the water, and it all fit. And he says, what's the moral to the story? And the kid said that you can squeeze anything into a day. He says, no, you've missed the point. The point is you have to plan. If you want to get it all in the day, you got to plan. Our problem is that we waste our day on the sand, the marbles, and the water, and not the big rocks, getting them into the jar first. And we start doing the little dinky stuff in life. And if we would get the big stuff in and get the big stuff done, and then we'd have time to fit the other stuff in, and by the time the day is over, guess what? We might have got more stuff accomplished than we ever thought possible. But that's going to take planning, isn't it? So we purchase the time. We plan the time. The final point of the message tonight is this. You're going, final point already? Don't get excited. This is the major point because we want to talk about the third point here, blowing the time. Blowing the time. If we know that life is brief and there's the brevity, it goes by very, very quickly. If we know tonight that we need to have a plan to budget the time, how about blowing the time? Where do we blow our time? Take a look in your Bibles at Proverbs 31. We're going to look at some time wasters tonight. Proverbs chapter 31. In Proverbs 31, verse 27. Proverbs 31, 27, the Bible says of the virtuous woman here, she looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. So letter A is idleness. Idleness is sitting around doing nothing. Unproductiveness. Goofing off. There are some folks that work harder at getting out of work than they do working. You know? Those kinds of individuals, they're idle. Ben Franklin said that idle hands are the devil's playthings. Isaac Watts said, for Satan always finds some mischief still for idle hands to do. The Apostle Paul told Timothy that the idle wander about from house to house and are tattlers and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. When you stop and you think about how idle hands have gotten people into trouble through the years, let's think about a king by the name of David. When you think about David's life, there was a phrase that was used constantly about David. David went in and out before the people. And as long as David came in and went out before the people, that was a good, solid man. But one day his troops go off to battle, and for whatever reason, the Bible doesn't tell us why, David stays home. David's idle. When David should have been on the battlefield with his men, he's in his palace. And now for whatever reason, he's wandering around the palace, he can't sleep, and he walks out on this balcony, and I personally believe he had some sort of a notion who lived over there and what he might get to see. So he's got himself in the wrong place at the wrong time, but for him, the right place at the right time. so that he can witness this woman taking a bath and his heart lusts for her, and he brings her, has her brought back into the palace to his room. His idle hands. You know, when your hands are idle and they're not doing something that they should be doing, they're going to be doing the things they shouldn't be doing. You know, you have kids that are bored on the weekends kind of a thing, and I don't know how much they do this anymore, but when I was a kid, I remember this happening all the time. They'd put cherry bombs in mailboxes. They'd ball bat mailboxes. They'd do all sorts of damage. They'd egg houses and things like that. I don't know what the kids do for fun these days. They sit and do nothing. They play video games. You know, they get this going. Oh, that's productive. Really? I don't know how that's productive, you know. But they think it is. And you say, well, they shouldn't play video games? I didn't say that. Y'all need time to relax sometimes. We'll get to that at the end. But how much time is absolutely wasted? Hours upon hours upon hours that are wasted with idleness. It's blowing time. If you don't do something productive with your hands, you're going to do something destructive with your hands. Best to keep them busy. Keep them busy. Letter B. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Just over to the next book, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Here's another way that we blow our time. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Letter B, we don't give 100%. If you've ever had the joy of working with a person who doesn't give 100%, you know the frustration. They are the ones that can get distracted by a dust bunny floating by. What was that? And off they go chasing that dust bunny. They're the individual that wanders off and they never return. They're the individual that leans, but they don't clean. They're the person that you have to constantly tell them what to do. When they're doing it, they're just kind of half-hearted getting the job done. And they're the individual that can't walk and talk at the same time. You know, they can't work and talk at the same time. You know people like that? Whew. For those people who aren't like that, it will be a test of your salvation. I mean, you will feel yourself coming apart. It will drive you crazy. When there is work to be done and people are doing the work and they want to just kind of, so what's been happening? Yeah. And you just kind of want to kick their arm out from under them, and after they hit the floor, put something in their hand and say, get busy. We got work to do. We'll talk when we're done. Anybody else feel my pain? Okay. Whew. I thought, oh boy, I must be really a heathen here tonight. Years back in the old church, we had invited a missionary to come and present the work. The missionary was over half an hour late, which really doesn't sit good with me at all. Late doesn't sit good, just period, just don't sit good. Half an hour late, no phone call, and then he shows up just kind of nonchalant, like, hi. Oh, yeah, we were supposed to have been here, weren't we, about 30 minutes ago. You think? And didn't just like, whoop-de-doo. And had a few rambunctious kids all over the place. And inside, I'm really itching bad inside. Because we've got to take the missionary out to eat, because we've got service that night. And you know that you've kind of compartmentalized your schedule and everything. It's like, well, we can't very well call the church at 7 o'clock and say, I'm sorry, we're still sitting at the table eating because our missionary was late. Somebody lead an extra song. You know, you can't do that. So trying to get this guy going, and he's setting up his display. And it's my fault. I take full responsibility and blame for it. I made the mistake and asked him a question. And he stopped. And he really did that. He leaned back on the table. He started talking, and he wouldn't quit talking. I could feel my blood pressure going up. I'm like, you know what? Finally, after I walked away, I says, you know what? Let's finish this conversation over the table. Go and get finished up, because we got to get going. Oh, okay. Do-de-do-de-do. Whew. That wastes time. If God has given you something to do, time is valuable. Give 100%. To give less than 100% is not to do your work with all your might. Christians, that's wasting time. It's wasting God's time. It's wasting the time of somebody else that you're working with. If somebody's asked you to help them, they want help. They don't want a conversation. If they'd wanted a conversation, they would have asked you to come over and talk. They asked you to come and help. That means work. You can talk when the work's done. We don't want to waste the time. Here's the third thing. Go to Matthew 6. Hey, this stuff's really practical, isn't it? I mean, it's where we all live. And this one here is really where we all live. Worry is a waste of time. Letter C is the word worry. Worry is a waste of time. In Matthew 6, verse 25, it says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." There was a husband, he got really exasperated with his wife, and he says, "Why do you always worry about everything? Don't you know that worrying doesn't do any good?" And she fires back at him and she says, "Are you kidding me? 90% of the things I worry about don't happen." Boy, isn't that true though? How many of the things that we worry about, you know, worrying didn't make them not happen, right? How many of the things do we worry about that never happen? We have built a bridge. And hey, I'm telling you something. I'm a good bridge builder. I am a good bridge builder. And I can get worried and stewing about something, and my wife's just the opposite. Praise the Lord for her, because she will buttonhole me every time. She says, "What are you worrying about? Why are you worrying about this? You know the Lord's going to take care of this." I know that. Don't tell me that. I know that. But I want to worry. I feel better worrying. She says, "No, you don't." And she's 100% right. She's 100% right. Worrying solves nothing. And then she's always good to remind me, what good did worrying do with that? It didn't even happen, did it? Thank you, honey. Appreciate it. You're right. Wouldn't you think I'd learn? I wish I did. I think I'm getting better, but I haven't learned it yet. So I'm with you on this. It is a waste of time. The English term for worry is from an old German word, and the word means to strangle or to choke. Isn't that exactly what worry does? It strangles and it chokes you. It strangles your time. It strangles your energy. It strangles your emotions. It strangles your value to other people, because when you are worried, you're not as valuable as you could be. You're not as productive as you could be. You're not as focused as you could be, because worrying strangles us. Scripture tells us not to worry, so we're not supposed to do it, right? It's a waste of time. Let's take a look at the next two. Let's go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 20. We're going to put the next two together just because we're going to have to explain them a little bit. Proverbs 20 and verse 13, sleep's a waste of time. What? Well, hang on. Don't throw things at me. Hang on. Proverbs 20, verse 13. The Bible says, "Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread." All right? Letter E, recreation. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 in the first four verses. 2 Timothy chapter 3, the first four verses. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. All right, so let's consider the two. Sleep and recreation. Is sleep wrong? Is recreation wrong? No. So what are we talking about? We know, first of all, that our bodies, God made us, that we need sleep. And there's nothing wrong with that. Throughout Psalms and Proverbs, there are verses that talk about our sleep and our sleep being a sweet sleep and how to get that sleep and things like that. There's absolutely nothing wrong. We need sleep. So don't misinterpret that. We need recreation. We need downtime. We need time where our brain takes a break. Even Christ, as he did his earthly ministry, he wanted to get away from the crowds. He needed recreation. Now, I'm sure he wasn't playing basketball with the disciples and things like that. He needed time to rest. Recreating. Think about that. Think about the wording. When we recreate, it is so that we can get recreated, refocused, re-energized, re-this and that and the other, all the things that we need that have been depleted by activity. What this is talking about, in these two points in the Scripture, you know those individuals that they hibernate. I mean, they could sleep life away. And it's like, you're wasting time. You say, well, their body needs it. Their body don't need 20 hours of sleep. You know, when I was a kid, I listened to kids saying, oh, I didn't get up till noon. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. If I got to sleep in till 7 on a Saturday, that was sleeping in. And I needed to be thankful for that. 6 a.m., we had to be at Dean's Barbershop in Stryker to be the first ones in the chair to get haircuts. You got to be kidding me. 6 a.m.? Really? I think his scissors will still be sharp at 7, 8, or 9. No. 6 a.m. Why? Because there's daylight. You're burning daylight. Stuff to do. We've got a whole different generation today. It's crazy how much time is wasted. How about the recreation? Wasting time. You say, well, I don't go anywhere. How much time is wasted in front of a television? How much time is wasted in front of a computer screen? How much time is wasted on social media and watching this video and tweeting to this person and doing this kind of stuff? How about shopping for things that we don't need? How much time is wasted there? How much time is wasted just running the roads for the sake of running the roads? Wasting time. That's what the Scripture is getting at. Yes, we need time to get away. We need time to recharge, to enjoy good recreation that would be good for us. We need time to get sleep every night. You ought to get good night of sleep so that you're ready for the day. Those are things our body needs. But how many people just go, it's the extreme. They go overboard in it, and they're wasting time with it. As Christians, you know, you hit the snooze alarm and hit the snooze alarm, hit the snooze alarm and hit the snooze alarm. It's like, don't hit the snooze alarm even once. Set the alarm. Get up. Amen? Get on with the day. You know what? You say, well, I don't have time to get stuff done that I need to get done. Set the alarm earlier. Well, then I'd only get 10 and a half hours of sleep. I think you'll be okay. You'll be okay. Letter F. Letter F is the worst of all the time wasters. Go to Matthew 25. This is a time waster that I hope absolutely nobody here tonight is doing. But if you are, this is the most dangerous of the time wasters. Letter F is procrastination. Procrastination. Procrastination in life is bad enough. But I'm talking tonight about spiritual procrastination. In Matthew 25, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Huh, there's that thing again. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Procrastinating on salvation. Saying, I'm going to wait till the last minute to get right with God. I'm going to wait till my dying breath. I'm going to wait until I'm on my deathbed. I'm going to wait till I've sowed my oats and I've lived my life and now I'm old and gray and I got nothing else to do, so then I'll give my life to Christ. And they've procrastinated. Spiritual procrastination is the most dangerous time waster that can ever happen. 2 Corinthians 6 says that now is the time of salvation. Behold, now. That is not wasting time. That's getting it taken care of at this moment. You can't afford to blow that opportunity. There's a lot of things that we've looked at tonight that are time wasters that, yeah, you lose that time, you don't get it back, and you might not make the money that you could have had. You might not have the time with your kids that you could have had or with your spouse that you could have had, or you might have missed this opportunity or that opportunity, but it's not really going to make not this kind of an eternal difference. But you miss out on trusting Jesus Christ as Savior, and that will make an eternal difference. Without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you die and you go to an eternity in hell. I had said yesterday at Terry's funeral, the Lord gave me a message for that funeral, and he changed the message, actually. I had one message already prepared. And that morning, as I was collecting the memories to plug into my notes, I had looked up a scripture. And that fast, the Lord gave me a totally different message. And the message essentially was this, that when we, because we face death and because we face the brevity of life, it reminds us that that is a day of change. Everything changes when you lose that loved one. It's a day of challenge because who's going to take over where this loved one left off, doing the things that they did and providing and teaching and all that kind of stuff? But sitting in a funeral home is also a reminder that it's a day of choice. It's a day of choice. If you wait till you're laid out in the casket, the day of choice is gone. It's over. You procrastinated. You waited too long. But you know, some people, you've procrastinated, or they've procrastinated, and they may live another 5, 10, 15, 20 years, who knows? But the Spirit of God's not knocking at their heart's door anymore. There's no more conviction. There's no more of the Holy Spirit of God pleading with their soul. God made his final call. Tonight, if you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, your life could end very, very quickly, suddenly, unexpectedly. Without Jesus, you will go to an eternal hell forever. That can change right now tonight, with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed. If you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, now's the time of salvation. Jesus died on a cross for your sins. He paid the price for you. He was buried in the tomb and he arose from the grave. And he says, this is the gospel. This, believing me, believing that what I did in my death, burial, and resurrection is all that's necessary to be saved. But you have to call upon my name to be saved. You have to receive me. Tonight, if you say, that's what I'd like to do, then would you pray something like this? Lord, I do believe. I do believe that you died for my sin and that you were buried and you rose again. Lord, I believe that I don't deserve your gift of salvation. I deserve eternity in hell. But Lord, I believe you love me. I believe you want to save me. And tonight, Lord, I believe that so much that I'm going to ask you to save my soul. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. I believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead. I ask you to come into my heart, Lord, and save me tonight in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, nobody looking around tonight. Have you prayed that this evening? You say, I've never prayed that before, but I prayed that tonight and I meant it. If that's the case, would you just slip your hand up this evening? Then our Heavenly Father, tonight as believers in Christ, thank you for the time that you've given us. And Lord, it is a very precious commodity. Help us, Lord, to never fritter it away, but to use it very wisely, cautiously. Help us, Lord, to value the people that you have placed in the timeline of our life, that we would see the purpose that we have to be there for them and them for us. And Lord, we as believers in Christ, we know that eternity's coming where time will not be marked any longer. We look forward to that day. But until then, help us to redeem that time, for these are very, very evil days. We pray and ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.